right, everybody, you're listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I'm with my old friend CT Ballantyne, and I have known CT for something like 8 years at this point. Shit. Yeah, we actually met two blocks north of where we are right now. Do you remember this at all?
At the command center.
At the command center. It was Billy's bathroom show.
Oh, yeah.
And you brought, by this point in the night, you were like last or second to last in all the cameras.
I played last and the camera broke right before.
The camera broke, so you made everyone go into the bathroom with you.
Yeah.
Which was really, really good.
Yeah, that was good.
And you wrote a song like that day about a date you had been on at Denny's and like you wished.
No, I was dating this girl and she had a boyfriend the whole time. And we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh.
And I
Did
met
you
her
know
other
this?
Boyfriend. No. I mean, I found out the day before.
Am I bringing up uncomfortable histories? Or?
No.
This is yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
The boy was really upset, and he listened to the Smiths a lot, and he was just sad. I thought it was funny.
You don't seem like the kind of guy that listens to the Smiths a lot.
No, I hate the Smiths.
Speaking of things you don't hate, I know you. Besides that, we've done a lot of readings together and wonderful things like that. And you're a good writer. You're a very good writer. When we would do readings, you would predominantly do fiction. Am I correct on this or no?
That is true.
Okay, and I didn't. And right. The last reading we had to do together, you booked it. It was a night at Black Rock?
I think so. That was that Rec Room.
It was the Rec Room thing, and it was about cowboys. And your piece, I remember, was very good. Do you even remember your piece?
I don't know that I remember what it... I had an audio play that I did.
You did
for
an
that.
Audio play, but you also did a reading, and the reading involved you playing banjo.
You're right. It was about I do remember that.
Yeah, I remember it was like game two of the Cubs in the playoffs in 2008.
Yeah,
or no, 2007.
Whatever.
Yeah, that was the
last.
Yeah,
somebody canceled because they were working. They had to work at a bar in the Cubs game.
Yeah. Well,
I hate the Cubs.
I love the Cubs, yeah, so this works out really well. Well, why? Which? What's the goal for writing? Why do you enjoy writing? Why do you feel like you need to do it? Why do you do readings? Why do you put out stuff? Why not just self-publish and stay anonymous?
Well, why not?
Let's do one at a time. Why do you enjoy writing, I should say?
I will say, no, I think I'm going to go to why not stay anonymous.
Why
first.
Not stay anonymous?
And that's because I like attention.
Okay.
I feel like, there, that's done.
Well, is that good or bad?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Okay, when you're writing a piece that you know you're going to read, do you write it because you're going to read it out loud? Or
a lot of them, yeah. I mean, not always, but I've learned that, that's important. I've done some not so good readings.
Well, how do you know if it's, do you know beforehand that it's going to be a good or a bad reading?
Usually.
How would you tell?
I mean, if something, you know, you write things sometimes and you're like, I read this and I think that this is moving or whatever, this sounds good, but you need to kind of absorb it. And those things are terrible at readings. Like, I've hosted a lot of readings and somebody will read something that I've read before and this is a great story, but you can't catch the nuances of subtle writing when you're at a bar.
That's true.
Half paying attention. Like, you need dick jokes.
What if you're... Like, that's of. True. Yeah, you need to be kind of funny. You don't... But the thing is, the readings aren't always at bars. I mean, a lot of them are at, like, bookstores and coffee shops, and that's a different crowd.
Yeah.
No?
I might be cynical, but, like...
Well, you've done this for how long now? 6 years?
I guess so.
Yeah, so it's not like you're
new
to it.
Yeah, I started at the command center.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy got me into that, actually.
Yeah, Billy...
Because I had zero interest in it. I mean, I think I, like, wrote... things mostly as inspiration for lyrics before that, and then he was doing zines. And
okay, so you know, Billy Roberts, for those of you who don't know, is a wonderful guy. He does Loop Distro, which is a distro for zines, and he's been like a champion of quite a lot of people.
Yeah,
I think if it wasn't for him, a lot of us wouldn't know each other. So, yay, Billy. Anyways,
oh man,
what are you saying?
That guy's ego.
What? That guy's got a big ego, did you say?
No, I just don't know if it needs any more food.
Oh, I think it does. I haven't seen Billy in years, not years, but months, and I haven't had a good conversation with him in like years.
Yeah, you should. It's worth having.
I love Billy. I just don't see him ever. I mean, he's a good guy. Go visit him at Uncle Fun. Anyways, you're writing predominantly now. You were telling me before you're working on a piece that's as of now 100 pages long.
Yeah, ish.
Okay, and you said one of the problems with it, or one of your concerns about it, was you're not putting anything else out.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I've started a couple of of longer projects, and I've abandoned some of them or sort of put them on the back burner. I did that, I did a novella on The Second Hand.
Okay.
That we published in serial form.
Really quick, what's The Second Hand?
The Second Hand is a quarterly broadsheet that has, at this point we have a one story per broadsheet format. Mm-hmm. We release it, it's free.
It's available in Chicago, Alabama.
And various other...
Okay.
Kind of scattered it's about free. The country. It's free.
It's free.
And at thesecondhand.com we publish...
There you go.
...once or twice a week.
And how is you, besides writing for them, how are you affiliated with them?
At this point, I'm the Chicago editor, mostly because everyone else left.
The everyone else is Todd Dills.
And Jeb.
And Jeb Gleason. Well, Jeb moved?
Yeah, Jeb's in New York now.
I didn't know that. See, I'm learning a lot right now. But yeah, these people, they're good writers and all that stuff. But what do you, your novella, your piece that's 100 pages long at this point, what are they about? What are you trying to convey with them? Or do you know?
I don't know.
Is it just a work in progress, and then when it's done, you know it's done? Or do you ever know it's done?
Well, I finished that novella. The novella that I finished was a thing about Friedrich Nietzsche being an ad executive for the Flintstones.
Okay.
And there were a couple characters that I'd been goofing around with for a really long time that were like connected to that. One was Angry Angus. He was this like disaffected metal teen, and okay. I thought he was really funny. And he ended up having a really like bit part in the novella. I don't think he's even in it. And I was trying to like build on his story and rewrite his story, and I got pretty far into it, and I realized that it was the same story that I just told, but not as good.
Same story you told in that piece?
In the Nietzsche thing.
Okay.
And that, like, really, I was just, like, fleshing out the kind of back writing that you would do before that. And I was like, this is done.
So you just trashed that?
Another thing. Well, I mean, I've still got it.
Well, I know, but, like, you just... Yeah, okay. Done. So what's the current large piece that you're working on?
Well, I went 2 years ago out to California...
Could you talk about this, actually?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to get you in trouble, that's all.
Okay. I can say whatever the hell
I want. Say whatever. I would prefer for you to say things that will get you in trouble, but I don't...
Well, nobody's publishing it yet, all right, so I good. Can't get in trouble. I mean, there Victory, we talked to them about publishing it.
Okay.
So you might get my friends in trouble. I don't want to get... Nah, I
probably... Change names, man. Who cares?
Yeah. You know, one of Victory Records bands...
There you go.
I was out... went out with them to California and played some banjo on their album and sang a little and did some press work. And we decided that I was going to write a novel about this experience. It was not really going to be a tell-all. It was going to be like a fictionalized version of the experiences of what was going on out there.
So like Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail or something?
Yeah, maybe. A little bit of that. You know?
So this was 2 years ago. What has happened since then?
I've been working on it. I've written a shit ton for it, and I couldn't figure out really what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I went out there, and it was like, I've got these friends that I've been tight with since high school. They're going out to California. It's cold here. I'm living with this girl that I don't like very much, and I would like to not be living with her. And so I went out to California, and I was like, well, I wrote a book. And we tried to get, like, Victory to fund that, and they weren't, probably to their credit, that into it.
Yeah. But did you get it? You did get paid, correct? No?
Well, I didn't pay for room and board.
Then you got paid.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah. But they don't own, like, no one right now owns
Victory the... did not fund me.
Yeah, exactly. So you can publish this.
Because, I mean, I guess, like, if I had... And it's taken a lot. I told Victory that I could have it for them in like 2 months.
From like when? When was this?
From after the I was like, yeah, give me like 2 months after the recording is done.
Okay. So then this is like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they had been paying me money, I probably would have written something maybe not so genuine. And
okay. So you could have pumped something out, but it wouldn't have been what you wanted to.
Right.
So what's it now like? Is it just like a band? That's,
I don't... I mean, in a lot of ways, the actual being out in California is... I mean, I don't know. I don't want to... it's not really the point of the book. It is in a way. It's kind of like it starts in there, and it's going to end there.
In California.
In California. And the rest of it is kind of, I think, explaining why that's significant. Because I remember we talked to the guy who was producing it, and he was like, couldn't understand why I was out there doing it. He's like, this is boring. Like, you understand that, like, recording an album is a really boring thing. And I was like, nah, yeah, I get that. But it was like, I mean, that was the first time that anyone in my, like, group of friends had had a large budget to go out to fucking LA. I mean, it was great. It was like, February was like 20 below here, and then I got off a plane in Long Beach and it was like 80, and we had a fucking like apartment with a hot tub and shit.
That's
and
awesome.
It was that was rad. And there was like, but I was like, you know, if I write this, like, how am I gonna make it apparent to anyone that didn't grow up with us, like, why this is really exciting?
Okay, so you couldn't just tell. So it was kind of like a rags to riches maybe type of story.
Yeah, rags to
Better rags.
Rags to sponsored rags, maybe. I don't know.
That's riches to me, my friend.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah, they don't make money.
No.
Victory does not pay them.
Hey, I'm not
well.
Trying to get anybody in trouble, but I completely.
No, don't get. Anybody that has ever been on Victory will tell you they don't pay their bands well.
Yeah, I know. I've heard all the horror stories. Yet I don't know anyone that's been on the label, because no one would be on the label. You know a lot about this music thing. You work in venues around Chicago, and you're trying to... tell me if I'm wrong. You're trying to create your own studio, a recording studio.
A recording rig. Okay. I don't know that we've really gotten to the point of a studio.
The goal, the goal is studio?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you want to talk about that? I mean, you've been recording... Not recording bands, but doing live sound for at least 2 years now, I think.
Yeah. Well, professionally. I mean, I've been...
Professionally. Okay, so...
Keeping off with it.
What does that entail? Like, after we finish this up, you're going to Ronnie's to record to do sound for a show.
Yeah, doing the sound for a show there.
So, walk me through, like, a night.
You know,
you show up.
I show up, I turn everything on.
What's the everything on? Because I think a lot of people think it's just, like, you turn a mic, you plug a mic in, and you hit on.
No.
Well, then clarify,
no,
please.
There's a lot of, I mean, I don't know, this shit's so boring. But there's a lot of room tuning, and that changes a lot. You get a graphic EQ, or there's EQs that are on like our drive rack.
Okay.
And you have to change those based on partly like what kind of show you're going to have. If you need a lot of low mid power for a metal band, you're going to have that. If you have folk bands, you kind of cut that. So you kind of adjust that. That gives you like, you cut that, you introduce some like phase issues that are compromising the sound, but it gives you, I don't know, you get more headroom before feedback.
Do you like this job?
Yeah.
You don't sound like it.
Well, who likes their job? I like it better than any job that I've had.
Ideally, what would you be doing?
Ideally, I would not be working.
Would you be writing?
No.
What would you be doing then?
This might be my ideal job. I would hate to be a professional. I would hate to have to write. I don't know. In today's world, I would not like to be a professional writer.
Well, okay, but
like, if I could churn out for money, if I could churn out crap like Hardy Boys novels and get paid for it,
you'd,
I would
like
do that.
Yeah, that'd be why fun. Don't you do that?
Because people don't read books anymore.
People read now more than ever.
Not
books, maybe. But people are reading now more than ever.
But it does not pay well to write.
Absolutely not. Look at Huffington Post. Everyone's writing for free. We should all just write for the Huffington Post.
Well,
you're looking at me with such disdain right now.
I don't even know. I don't know much about Huffington Post.
Well, so you know, but you're a sound guy right now.
Well, tell me about Huffington Post, and then we'll talk.
Oh, Huffington Post is just a blog. You know Ariana Huffington?
Huh?
Ariana Huffington.
Okay.
She was a crazy radical on the right, and now she's on the left. She wrote this book about like how to overthrow the government, and she's a strong Democrat, and she started this blog called the Huffington Post, and it's essentially just like a blog aggregator where it takes the best of everything, and no one gets paid from it, but they're doing really, really well for themselves,
and
they employ no one,
right? Okay,
for the most part. I mean,
that's rad, but I mean, you can't do that for paying your bills.
No, you can't do that for paying the bills, but for paying the bills, you're currently doing sound,
right?
How long do you see yourself doing this? Live sound, I should say.
I probably wouldn't be doing it if I could be recording things right now. I'm a lot more interested in that.
Why are you interested in recording?
I like the idea. I like having some creative input. I feel like there is that to a certain extent in live sound. I've talked about this with fellow geeks, and I mean, there's a, you know, sometimes I'll run weird compression bus doodads that have the guitar or the vocals ducking the guitars a little bit, and it sounds really full, and I might be into that. And maybe like if one of my sound engineer friends is there, they're like, yeah, "Oh, pretty cool what you're doing," but like nobody else.
So it's like a secret language type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of, I think subliminally might notice the difference, but
all right, I'm a guy. You know this. You've told my band. I'm in a band. But I've never recorded bands. Right. Would I know what you're doing? Those subtle differences. Would I understand it between you and a different engineer?
No.
Okay. Do you think now that bands need an engineer? Do you think they need to record in a studio now?
I think that there are a lot of bands and musicians that are confused about what goes into making the records that they hear and enjoy.
Okay, give me an example.
I don't know.
Give me a band that you enjoy. Give me a band that you enjoy. That someone might know of. I'm sure there's one. No? You're shaking your head no?
To what?
Well, just
extent.
To the extent of you really enjoy this album, or you really enjoy this song on this album, and you think a lot of people don't understand how difficult or how easy it was to record that song.
All right. There's a lot of weirdo psych stuff.
Okay.
From the 60s.
Okay.
Pretty hot these days to recreate.
I feel like a lot
of that free folk thing is into that. And it seems like you'll meet people and they'll talk about it and be like, oh man, they're just on a lot of acid, and they're just like, whatever, turn everything, whatever. And they were like doing a lot of weird things on these recordings. But the amount of engineering that goes into setting up, getting that signal to that, to be able to fuck with it is, it's pretty intense.
Okay.
And I think what you get if somebody isn't prepared for that, and just has like a garage band set up is like weird electronic noise, and that's fine. I mean, I like that stuff.
Okay.
But it's not like listen to like a Faust album that I like a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of weird recordings going on there, but they're really clean, and it's, you know, they were really well designed and really expensive recording gear back then. And
yeah.
I mean, the people working it then weren't artsy folks. They were like engineers.
Okay, is that better or worse?
It's different.
Okay, well, you're.
I think that it was really interesting in somewhere in between the 60s and 80s, like when there was a mix of the dorky recording technology and weirdos working on it. Like,
okay.
And I don't think that they always gelled well. Like, I know, like, I've heard, like, when the Velvet Underground was in the store or in the studio, like, the engineer, like, walked out and was like, they don't pay me enough to, like, listen to this crap.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, like, a lot of the punk recordings where this early punk stuff was, like, the same way. I mean, and that's, like, there's a lot of bands that play Aranis that are really similar to a lot of 70s punk. But it's not recorded with, I mean, it's recorded on comparatively cheap equipment. Even like, even the glossy recordings
that
like might be on a mid-level or even major label like release at this point are compared to what was going on then. They're like low budget.
Okay. Well, you are somewhere in the mix between like the audio, like nerd geek or whatever, and the freaky guy. That sounded really odd. 'Cause you're in a band.
Right.
I mean, and you record yourself and your projects. I mean, how do you feel about all this stuff? Where do you stand on this stuff? Do you prefer when somebody else is recording you?
I think if I was going to have someone else record me, I would need them to have... I would need to be paying them a lot more than I can right now.
Why is that?
Because if I had somebody else recording me, I would want them to be capturing exactly what I'm doing. And I don't want their cheap equipment coloring what I'm doing, because, like, if anybody's cheap equipment is going
to
color what I'm doing,
it has to be
like,
yours.
It would, like...
Well, Okay, ideally, Cup and String. You're still in Cup and String, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Because I asked you.
It can't.
You what?
It's not going to die till I do.
There you go. So Cup and String is going to record, and money is not an issue. What are you going to do?
Then I'm going to get, I'm going to plan out what my setup is, probably demo some things at home.
Okay.
And then explain to the engineer, this is what I'm doing, and I want you to capture what I'm doing exactly.
So you're not going to go like Guns N' Roses crazy and bring in.
No.
And you're not going to spend 14 years on something.
No. Well, I might spend 14 years on pre-production, but like, I mean, if you go into a studio and you're paying and you're not an idiot, you should be in and out.
Money's
in
not like an object, though. Here's the thing. It's like,
but, well, I don't.
You wouldn't be the kind of person that would be exploring the sound. I'm using air quotes. Exploring the sound of the studio and stuff like that. You're not referring to the studio as the.
No.
You don't like believe that it's.
No. You know, we're exploring the sound. And maybe I shouldn't be saying this because I might want to use it at some point.
No, absolutely.
But, when people talk about exploring the sound of the studio, it's because some, engineer studio guy is telling them they need to do that so we can charge them for more time.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think that...
Okay. Or because they don't have their shit together and he's producing it.
Okay, here's my example.
And telling them how their song should be. If you have your song set up, you shouldn't... There's no reason you should need more than a week in a studio. And that's kind of absurd, I think.
That would take more than a week?
Yeah.
Regardless of the type of music you're doing.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay, let's talk about, Loveless. My Bloody Valentine's Loveless. Do you think that could have been done in a week?
How long did they spend in the studio?
I thought it was a few years, and I know that it bankrupted the label.
I mean, but I don't think that the amount of time, I don't know much about Loveless.
Or
but
just any record.
Like right? Something like that. I have to imagine that they just didn't maybe know what they were doing. Not that and not in a way that they're incompetent, they don't know what they're doing. It's not a flaw in the studio, probably. It's just a flaw in what they want to put into the studio.
When you're saying the person is messing up, are you talking about the producer or the engineer or the band? Or who are you talking about?
I think if a project takes longer than a week, it's probably because, indecision on the part of the artist. And that happens. I feel like that's ought to be why most albums take a long time, because it takes a while to...
Okay, I can understand, Green Day, that should take a week.
But the actual process of... that's what I... A recording engineer is not an artistic position.
No.
It's...
You're going to go with the whole Albini thing, where your job there is to get the live sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, if you're producing, then your job is to shape the sound.
Of course. So what do you want to be?
I would like... I don't have the Albini school of I don't want to
set up microphones and hit
production
type thing.
I'm into production. I'm also into I'm really fascinated by what he does, his studios.
Yeah.
I look at his gear list and drool a lot.
So you're on the blog a lot, you're on the electrical blog and all that?
Yeah.
And at the blog, the message board.
No, and I haven't looked at the message board. I really have a blog? He's got a list of all his microphones and descriptions of all of them,
yeah.
And they're really funny. Like the 58 ones are good for holding on to and spitting into.
Yeah,
that's.
I used to go on there in freshman year of college or something, and on the blogs and just try to search on Musician's Friend and figure out how much all this gear would cost me and just drool.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's a wonderful mix of vintage, which you were talking about earlier, and brand new cutting edge stuff. So, but would you want to produce a band that you don't like? Because right now, let's be honest, you're not going to like the majority of bands you see. Anyone that's recording bands 4, 5, 6 nights a week, I'm going to say, tell me if I'm wrong here, at least 75% are really bad or just not your cup of tea.
Right. There's plenty of bands that are very tight that I probably wouldn't go see.
Yeah, and... So I'm asking you, do you have to be in love with the band to want to work with them?
I honestly, a lot of times, we get...
Not live
Sometimes
here.
When I'm working... Well, I mean, I haven't done a whole... Most of the recording I've done, I've wanted to work on because I'm not getting paid.
Oh, so this is a labor of love then?
Well...
It's experience you're learning, but you enjoy it somewhat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to. Like, I'm not going to do something for free if it's crap and I don't like it.
Okay. Don't say that, because I'm sure you've probably done that quite a bit.
No.
All right, that's very good.
I've worked on friends' recordings where I think that they're progressing towards something.
All right, that's fair.
Whatever. Maybe just like them. I mean, I don't that's know. Good. I'm not going to find a bunch of jerks in Wrigleyville and record them for free.
Hey, let's go. I mean, those are the guys that probably have the money, though, too.
Yeah, they probably do.
Versus the people.
And actually, but what I was going to say is doing live sound, I've worked for some of their bands, these like bar rock bands, which like is the last thing I will ever go out in. But it's kind of awesome to work with because I'm not like I'm so detached from the music that mm-hmm. I'm only thinking about what I'm doing. And like they're also a little bit more open to the kind of the weird thing about most of the music that I do like is that everyone that's involved in the indie rock scene in Chicago is at least marginally interested in producing some sort of art themselves.
Definitely, definitely.
And so like half the time I'm in a room where like there's like it's half full of like aspiring engineers and they know kind of what I'm doing. And so like when I do dorky things with gated reverb and like delay on the background vocals, they're like, and they write me a fucking grad thesis on, I don't know.
All right.
Privilege. But man, the people that are there to watch this bar band, they don't care. They want to dance. Yeah. They're drunk. They're stupid. They're not thinking about what I'm doing.
It sounds easier in a way.
It's easier, but it's also like and sometimes more rewarding because
when you work with a band that's not your cup of tea,
Yeah.
All right.
And well, maybe not partly that they're not the cup of tea, but also just because I'm pretty bitter about indie rock fan bases at this point.
Yeah, you sound really angry today. Well, it's cold outside, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's cold outside and I've worked like
it's January in Chicago.
Week.
And the place you're working at tonight, that room is either like sweltering or freezing.
Yeah.
At Ronnie's in the back room.
It's usually sweltering.
I love that room, by the way.
I
feel like if you can't play there, you shouldn't play anywhere. In terms of like if you can't have fun there.
Yeah, no.
Like for those that don't know, chime in whenever you'd like, but it feels like a garage. A garage at an odd angle with like a roof that's like meant to like keep in sun or something odd. And you cook under that, and it's the floor is cement. Am I right on this or no?
It's tile, I think.
Is it tile? I thought it was cement. I thought the bar itself was tile, and the room was cement. It's like you're playing in a garage.
Yeah, it's
like
they covered the walls, though. You know, have you been there since the drywall went up?
I was there in the summer.
We put drywall up a month ago.
Nice. Oh, and the sound booth.
And took all the garage. Yeah.
The sound booth is in a tiki bar area type thing. Is it still like that?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that place.
I'll never get rid of my tiki bar. It's the only thing keeping me going.
The one complaint I get from everyone that has gone with me or seen a show there is it smells like piss.
It does smell like piss.
Does it still smell like piss? Why does it smell like piss?
You know, it's understaffed.
But even so, it's not like, we got to hire more people to get the piss smell off. It seems like that should be very easy. I'm obviously wrong here because you're looking like it's the most confusing thing in the world.
Yeah, no, I don't understand why they don't clean it, and because
the bathrooms aren't like filthy, like they're not mutiny. It just doesn't.
Well, it's it really depends on when you show up there. Sometimes it's clean, and sometimes it's not.
Okay, you know what?
I don't know. I'm not gonna clean that shit up.
No, literally, you should not be cleaning shit.
Yeah, I don't get paid well to be a sound engineer there.
I love the
janitor.
I'm just saying if they cleaned up this, if they made this smell a little bit more pleasant,
yeah. Well, they've been putting candles out recently.
So that sounds like an awful slash wonderful idea. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, did they put out candles because Mary's there? Is Mary still there? I completely
Mary
forgot
is
about
still
that.
There.
Mary, the Virgin Mary. There's like a three foot tall statue of Mary.
Oh, man. Me and Mike were one of the other guys that works there was talking about a monotonic show that was there like 2 years ago where they had to tackle their singer because he was trying to pull the Virgin Mary out into the crowd.
Holy, who tackled them?
The guy working there.
Nice. I love that place. I'm
and not really, you know, it was more that he didn't feel that he could, you know, tap him on the shoulder in the middle of their set.
Of course, of course.
It was a loving tackle.
You got to be classy about certain things. Bring your own Mary. That's what I always say. You got to bring, if you're going to fuck with some statues, you have to bring them yourself. Or pre-approval. It's just, it's not nice.
Yeah.
To throw around religious icons. Well, that's fine, but I mean, you should bring your own.
It's a touchy subject.
Quite.
Especially with a large, drunk Cuban man in the other room. Like, I don't know what that
is. Is it Cuban owned?
Yeah.
I didn't know Ronnie was Cuban.
Ronnie is Cuban.
Ronnie is very nice to me the few times I've talked
to him. He's a lovable man.
And the whole place.
I don't know that I would like to upset him, though.
I would fuck no. You're completely right. Yeah. I wouldn't want to cross any of those men in any way.
No.
Anyways, really quick, your band, Cup and String, what's going on with them? Or you at this point, because I've known you guys and I've seen you, and every single time it's been different people. Sometimes it's just you, sometimes it's three people, sometimes it's two.
I think the last show we did, there were five or six of us.
See?
And I like that better. We did a tour that was just... The last couple we did was a combination of just me and my friend Susie, who played cello.
Okay.
And, I don't know. I like having a... No, it was great. It was really good. I think that I just like having a lot of people. It's easier to stay motivated.
That's true. It's hard to schedule, though.
It is.
Yeah. But what's the goal? I mean, you're not touring right now. You're obviously in Chicago.
I think at this point, I'm working on demoing new recordings, which is difficult now because, I don't know, I've picked up some new instruments recently. I know how to do a lot more when I... Like, I recorded our last album on a 4-track, and I worked with really, really cheap equipment. That was kind of the goal.
Is this the She Shanties album?
Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't... I guess I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know options were available to me, and I didn't know how to, like, wire things in cool to get, like, weird fucked up things to happen. And
okay.
Now I do, and so it's hard to focus.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think drum machines and synths might be involved. I don't know.
Yeah, for those that don't know, how would you describe your sound? Because the last album was not drum machines and synths.
There were some drum machines.
It did not sound like drum machines and synths when you think of drum machines.
Well, I don't know that they sound like drum machines and synths, but I wouldn't use them.
You don't want them to sound like... Of course you don't want them to sound like that.
Well, yeah.
You're describing it like it's a dance album. It's the furthest thing from... No, shut up. It's the furthest thing from a dance album.
You could dance to it.
You could dance to anything. You could dance to this. That doesn't make sense.
That, well, yeah.
See?
Touché. So,
there you go.
How would I describe it? I don't know.
I hate...
Twee indie pop.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. I don't understand why bands... Any musician that you know is like, how would you describe their sound? I don't know, man. Like, it's the hardest question ever. Like, I'm creating these notes that no one has ever heard before, and I'm playing in weird time signatures every single time I pick it up. Because you know what, to me? That's jazz. Like, you can describe anything, but people are like, oh, I've never thought of that. Which is a total lie, because that's all I thought about in high school. I want my band to sound like this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So, come on.
But it's embarrassing if I'm telling you what, like, I'm ripping off.
I'm not saying who are you ripping off. I'm saying if I'm going to class, I'm going to put you in a record store. Where should I file you to sell your record? That's all, man. It's not hard. I don't think...
I was going for the college kids that want to sound smart.
Then just say that. Just say that.
Well, yeah. I'm a lot more blunt than most people, I think, though.
You kind of are, but not for that question. You did what everyone else does. Like, I don't know, man.
No, I told you.
You told me, but it took some prodding. You shouldn't really had to think about it. You've been doing this for years.
Well, yeah, but now I'm doing since then. Like, I recorded that album 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, I know. But, okay, your last show, and there were six people. Who did you sound like?
Bright Eyes, probably.
Okay, there you go. So if you like Bright Eyes, you'll eat this shit up. There you go. I just sold it for you.
Yeah, all right.
That made it really awkward. You have to get out of here to go to work.
I do have to get out of here.
Thank you so much for stopping by. Should any people check you out in any way possible, like the secondhand site or anything like that, Cup and String site? You don't have to. I don't care. I'm just trying to help out.
I don't know that I want people to check me out.
All right, so do not check out CT Ballantyne. If you want to visit him, don't.
I'm at Ronnie's.
He's at Ronnie's tonight. So.
I'm there often, and I'm usually looking for people to sleep with.
There you go. So if you are willing and able to... I don't even know...
But go to thesecondhand.com. I'll push that. There I don't know that I want to push my musical project because they're not that good.
See, that's what you want to have to sell. This isn't very good.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Come on, man.
No, that's totally hot. Like, indie dudes, like, talking about how shitty their stuff is. Yeah,
great. But you're not indie enough today, because, like, you're doing the new indie where you just...
I'm on indie 2.0.
You have the mustache.
Fuck yeah,
you got the mustache. You don't have the glasses on anymore?
Well, I got drunk and lost
them. You lost your glasses? Did you ride your bike here?
No.
Okay.
No, my bike got stolen.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. I had a one-night stand with a person, and then I left my keys there.
Bike didn't get stolen.
And then it got locked, and I couldn't get the lock broken.
Where is your bike now? Was it no, I don't the know. Lock broken?
Now it's eventually somebody broke it.
No, but where was the bike?
Outside of Ronnie's, actually. And it was like taunting me, like. And every day I'd go in and run and be like, "CT, you get your bike yet? I got this wrench I can cut."
Why didn't you just have him cut it?
Because he had a wrench every day and he never had a wrench. I don't know. Tomorrow, CT, I get the wrench. I think he meant a saw, but he said a wrench.
I just like him the idea of sawing with a wrench. More. That's a lot more exciting. Well, for the next one-night stand, if you can provide CT a bike, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be great.
Contact him through the second-hand site or just show up at Ronnie's and sleep with him.
Yeah.
Something good will happen. Now I'm going to plug my thing and make you feel uncomfortable.
Good.
I made a few videos for Sally in the past few weeks. So I'm going to close out this show with one of those songs. And Sally is a now-defunct band, but it features Charlie Dietz, who has just released a new remix album, I think, as of yesterday. So go check that out. Thank you, CT, so much for being here.
Thank you.
Have fun at work tonight.
I
hope you don't end up smelling like piss. Yeah, have a good one.